The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press, with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
What should unify the Democratic Party? What should make somebody a Democrat and not a Democrat? And I ask it in this way. There's been a lot of back and forth, especially among abortion rights activists, about a decision of the Democratic Party to support a candidate for mayor in Omaha, a Democrat, who happens to be pro-life. And there are some that, and at some point, the Democratic National Committee chairman actually had to put out the following statement after 3 days of back and forth. He said, "I fundamentally disagree with Heath Mello's personal beliefs, the candidate for Omaha mayor, about women's reproductive health. It is a promising step that the candidate now shares the Democratic Party's position on women's fundamental rights. Each candidate who runs as a Democrat should do the same, because every woman should be able to make her own health choices, period. Can you be a Democrat and the support of the Democratic Party if you're pro-life?"
Of course, I have served for many years in Congress with members who have not shared my very positive, my family would say, aggressive position on promoting a woman's right to choose.
That's House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi speaking Sunday with Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press. A flap over something that Tom Perez had to say, the DNC chairman, after Heath Mello, a candidate for mayor in Omaha, was included in a unity tour. Well, Heath Mello was at least marginally pro-life. And Tom Perez said, that doesn't fit with the Democrats. If you're going to be a Democrat, or maybe even an American, you need to support a woman's right to choose. We're going to be talking about that statement and the flap over that, well, an apparent split in the Democratic Party over whether or not pro-lifers are welcome in the party or not. Joining us to do so, Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
In response to Bernie Sanders' support for Democrat Heath Mello in Nebraska, a mayoral candidate in Omaha, the Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez said on Friday, quote, "Every Democrat, like every American, should support a woman's right to make her own choices about her body and her health," end quote. Speaking, of course, about abortion, what's your response?
I think there was such a mistake. And when you look at what's happening within the Democratic Party right now, we have been losing. And we are at our lowest numbers since the 1930s. So for the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, looking at him when we had major losses in the presidential race, and for him to go issue a public statement saying that we want to tell one-third of our membership that you do not belong anymore unless you change your position was just strategically not very smart.
Looking at the broader picture in the Democratic Party, which has more influence, the old-school liberals, that is, those that may have had liberal views on particular issues but value tolerance and First Amendment issues, or progressives, which have more influence in the Democratic Party?
Right now, I would say the abortion lobby. For the chairman to issue such an extreme statement, and when you look at the platform, I think the abortion lobby has tremendous power in the party that we need to limit. They are quite clearly not concerned about building a Democratic majority. They're concerned about their very own issue of keeping abortion legal. And because if they cared about the party at all, they wouldn't have gone into Nebraska, which is a pro-life country there, and get involved in this race, in this mayoral race. So, and then convince the chairman that it's a good idea to issue this statement.
How did the abortion lobby, we're talking here about Planned Parenthood, we're talking about NARAL, Pro-Choice America, and other organizations, how did they become so powerful and so influential in the Democratic Party?
You know, it's happened gradually. And, you know, we see back, you know, in 1978, Democrats had a 292-seat majority, but 125 of those people were pro-life. And I think gradually our numbers had decreased, and they've really pushed anybody who believes that life begins at conception and is worthy of protection away from the party and out of the party. And we can see the party's been shrinking. So they've gradually been building up their power, and by pushing us out and say we don't belong. And Republicans have done a very good job of picking up those votes and those people. You know, especially after 2010, with the 2010 election, they knocked off, I mean, 3/4 of our pro-life Democrats in Congress by saying that associating even pro-life Democrats with an extreme abortion position. The reality is most Americans support reasonable restrictions and support a 20-week ban and don't want abortion paid for with federal tax dollars up to the ninth month.
So is the fabled big tent of the Democratic Party, has it collapsed, or is it now what, kind of a small kiosk?
I think, I mean, Perez's statement is pretty clear. You know, if you're not pro-life, you don't belong. And he said he's going to go around the country and strong-arm people into changing their position or falling in line with this extreme abortion position. But, I mean, on the flip side, some of the Democratic leaders didn't come out and support his statement, which I think is good. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, they all came back, not enthusiastic support for pro-life Democrats, but saying that we are the big tent party. So, you know, I think this is a good discussion that Democrats need to be having. And so maybe some good can come out of this, where we can kind of loosen the control of the abortion forces over the party and be a big tent party again. I mean, when we're a big tent party, we win. Like, if you look at 2006 and 2008, Howard Dean went out and looked for the best person for the seat. He didn't have an abortion litmus test, and we started to win again, and we had more pro-life Democrats running and winning. But when we, with these limits that we put in place, we have no bench. There were open seats that we had nobody running in. So we really need to expand what we're doing, not shrink it.
So in addition to that, what do Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, what do they understand about the future of the Democratic Party and the necessity of keeping the door open for pro-life Democrats that Perez appears not to understand?
Well, I think one of the things, I mean, Chuck Schumer was instrumental in clearing the field for Senator Casey to run, because a lot of the abortion forces said they didn't want Senator Casey because he's pro-life. And, you know, I think Chuck Schumer recognized then, and he still understands today, that, you know, that seat can be won by a pro-life Democrat, and it'd be very hard for a abortion rights Democrat to win. So, I mean, I think he understands it. I think Nancy Pelosi understands that the only reason she was Speaker was because of the pro-life Democrats. I don't think that she enthusiastically supports us, but I think she understands that we're necessary if we want to pass things like paid maternity leave, or even the ACA would have never passed without us.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life. When we come back, how do Democratic voters stand on abortion?
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about some statements made by the Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez regarding who in the Democratic Party is welcome or not, especially with respect to the issue of abortion. Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life, is our guest. Kristen, we know where the leadership stands in the Democratic Party. What about Democratic voters? Where do they appear to stand on abortion?
They do not like the abortion extremist position that the party is taking on. We had an informal little discussion among pro-life Democrats over the last presidential election, and I think there were about 12 of us there, and not one of them voted for Hillary Clinton. They most likely did not vote for Trump. We didn't take that poll, but a lot of them volunteered that, no, they didn't vote for Trump either. But they were just so incensed that Hillary Clinton, who once said safe, legal, and rare, went to this, changed the platform to an extreme position, and then basically defended the right to abortion up to 9 months of pregnancy. So they're pretty incensed, and you know they may not vote Republican, but they also won't vote Democrat.
How likely is it that that platform, that plank in the platform, that is now seem to have been nailed and screwed down in place, and then, as you said, firmly stomped on by Hillary Clinton saying, you know, abortion at all costs, how likely is that to get loosened up at some time in the future?
What I predict is that I think we're going to have losses in 2018, and then when it comes time for 2020, I hope that my party will wake up to the reality that maybe we need to, instead of focusing on abortion on demand, that we need to start focusing on things that all Democrats agree on, that with this issue, and that, you know, most women who seek abortion are poor, and we need to provide more support to those poor women to carry their children to term and give them the support and the options. Forcing abortion is not choice, and, you know, a lot of these women feel forced into it, and that's not empowering. That's not a choice. It's not, I mean, it's not what Democrats are supposed to stand for, and so I'm hopeful that we have an opportunity in 2020 to soften this platform and really focus on areas where we agree as Democrats and the support mechanisms, looking at paid maternity leave and, helping women who have prenatal diagnoses, you know, carry their children to term with support instead of killing their children. So, yeah, I think there's a lot we can do if we wake up and recognize the strength of the Big Tent.
One of the things that Hillary Clinton, where she drew a line in the sand, was the Hyde Amendment. Would it be a great step forward for Democrats who may even be kind of middle of the road on the abortion issue to express some support for that kind of general prohibition on funding abortion?
Right. It's been long-standing policy to against public funding of abortion. And so I think we had 62 Democrats support the Stupak Amendment in 2009, and that number has gone down to 3 in the U.S. House. And so it would be, I think, very sensible for Democrats to say, you know what, maybe that policy, we should take that out of the platform. It shouldn't be there. We should not have support for taxpayer funding of abortion in our platform, because a majority of people do not support it.
When you see a situation like this, like the DNC chair essentially saying you're not welcome if you're a Democrat, and even implying, I think, that it's un-American to oppose abortion, what does that tell you about the next 4 years, especially given the Republican majorities, both White House, governorships, House and Senate?
Well, you know, that tells me that, you know, the chairman really doesn't understand the American electorate. You know, he's only hearing this one minority view, one minority extreme view. So we have requested a meeting with him to show him the data. If you look at the data, it's very clear. I mean, Democrats cannot get the majority in the U.S. House without pro-life Democrats. You know, you look over the past 30 years, the number of Democrats who oppose the Hyde language has always remained about 180 to 188. It's the Hyde votes within the Democratic Party that give us the majority. So for him, he needs a better understanding of the American electorate and how we win, not with a minority view, but with a majority view.
And as to the mayorship of Omaha, they say, one of very famous Democrat used to say, all politics is local. How important local is that kind of an election to the Democratic Party?
Yeah, you know, I think Heath Mello, he was gaining, maybe had an opportunity to win. With this pressure coming from the chairman and having him say some of the, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I'm not going to vote that way, that doesn't sit well, real well with pro-life voters. So I don't think that this whole exercise is going to help him at all. And, you know, I think we have to, as a party, have to look at the local politics and not interfering, not imposing West Coast policies in the heartland. it's very detrimental to winning and promoting the Democratic policies we agree on.
Finally, Kristen, how difficult is it to be a pro-life Democrat today in America?
It has been a lonely place, but I'm feeling a lot more friends coming to me lately. So bringing this to the forefront, I think, is good for our issues. I think it's making it a little bit easier. I think more people will come out and say, I'm a pro-life Democrat too. Tom Perez, you're wrong on this. We need a big tent. So I'm hoping that more Democrats will come back and back to the party and fight with me, and push our party back to supporting the little guy.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life. You can find out more about Democrats for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Kristen, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Part 12 of our series on Lutheran identity will be right after the break. We're going to be talking about Luther's insight, drawn from Scripture and from the medieval church, of two different governments. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office. 314-416-8117.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.